welcome to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the fourth episode of season three, The Magician of Arrow. And I am one of your co-hosts, Amanda Konkin.
And I am your other co-host, Michael Cohen.
And we're here to talk about the 50th episode of Arrow.
Yeah, the 50th episode of Arrow that Stephen Amell on Facebook was like, best episode yet. And I'm kind of like, it was good.
It was good.
It was good.
It followed a really good episode of The Flash, though, and I watched them sort of simultaneously.
Okay, so I have a little bit of experience with this, because by season five of The Clone Wars, there was a lot of, that was good.
Okay.
Right? Like, because you get to a certain point where it's like, well, we expect a level of quality. I think we've even talked about it on Quiver before, where it's like, yeah, the show's really good.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say, though, because, like, it just continues to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it never, like we'll let you know if it dips, but or if it, like, really peaks.
Yeah.
But other than that, when it's just an awesome episode full of awesome stuff, like I said, oh, that's really cool, like, three or four times in this episode.
Yeah.
But I say that three or four times every episode. So to comment, you know, to respond to Stephen Amell's claims that this is their best episode yet, I guess.
Sure.
Like, we're talking about, like, fractions. Okay. We're talking about, like, decimal points
of
awesomeness.
I do have to say, there were more suited up superheroes in this episode than there have been in the past in terms of, like, awesomeness for costumes.
Yes.
And I was watching it. Okay, I watched it at my house before I came here, because my mom just came. So I was watching it, and I was like, oh man, such good television. I'm like, they're all wearing their uniform, like, they're all wearing their costumes. My mom's like, it's Halloween this week, they're just marketing. I'm like, no, you can't, that's the opposite of what it is. They're superheroes, and they're supposed to, I was really mad. I was like, no, this is a big deal. It's like, they look awesome, and they're supposed to be, and they're just superheroes, and they're becoming superheroes, and it's so good.
I mean, I don't know if there were more or less costumes. No, there's less costumes than there was in the season finale.
But, like, teamy, costumey things were kind of good. I don't know. Yeah, there was more, I guess, in the season finale. Them just being superheroes. Like, they were like, let's suit up and go out. But this, they were like, we're just being superheroes and tracking down.
No, it was just
this,
business,
like,
as usual,
right?
Well, there were four characters with bows and arrows jumping around wearing hoods and being awesome. And then there was just Diggle.
It was ridiculous.
It is.
You're all out on a mission, okay,
so,
and Diggle's just like,
so
wearing a suit.
The rallying cry for this is ridiculous, okay? Two G's. So RIDIGGILOUS. Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because it is. It's ridiculous that Diggle has no costume.
Yeah.
Like
I don't understand why you don't. Then he just can't be out with you guys.
Hashtag that,
like,
and tweet it at Arrow Writers and be like, we need
a costume.
Or something.
Or he sits in the car the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, he can't be out there with him with his gun and just be a regular dude.
Well, there's the point later on in the episode where they're going to rescue Thea, and Diggle's like, I'm right there with you. And Oliver's like, no, you're not. You're going to secure the perimeter, because if Thea sees you, she will figure out that I'm the Arrow.
Yeah,
it's like I did swear to her that I was going to be honest about everything, but we all know that I'm full of crap. I'm not going to be honest about anything. But Diggle really needs, like,
He needs something. There just needs to be, like, it's just, like, it's gotten to a point where it's, like, everybody has a position and has a mask and has something, and you just... don't. And so it's like, alright, well, whatevs. I don't know what they're going to do with you, but it's going to be something, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I liked him having to sit behind the computer.
He needs something different from the rest of them, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I think he needs, like a helmet of some sort or something like that.
That'd be
cool. He needs, like, some sort of, like, armor setup.
Yes.
Because, like, we've got two guys who run around and you know...
Yeah.
Swooshy fight with their arrows and their karate,
like,
and stuff.
He's the gun guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to, he needs to be, like, the bruiser. He needs to be, like, their heavy guy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's jump into an email from Jonathan Spies, who he was good enough to put the phonetics of his last name at the end. He said... he wrote the Magician episode thoughts, but he misspelled thoughts, so it's it, he he switched to the U for an I, and I don't know if he did this on purpose because it's Thoits. So I don't know. I feel like that's like an accent-y type thing. Like it's a, like his episode Thoits.
Oh.
He's thinking about it. Greetings, Quiver. I would like to personally welcome Malcolm the Magician Merlin back to Starling with his butt chin, smoke bombs, and plots of sibling betrayal. Barrowman is so fun to watch on screen that it almost makes up for how crazy Malcolm is.
Yeah.
Also, Nyssa is back. She should have offered to take Laurel back to the League of Assassins Ninja Lair, though. I was surprised to see Ra's al Ghul so early. I'm still not sure how I feel about the casting choice yet, but their lair looked amazing. And then he's got some assorted musings.
Yeah.
Oliver killed a guy trying to eat his ice cream cone in peace. Not really, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Felicity was amazing on The Flash this week. She needs to quit messing around with Ray, the kind of creepy boss, and date Barry.
Take it back. And date Barry. Okay, don't take it back to Sophie Jonathan.
I try not to ship characters, but they were reaching Ben Wyatt, Leslie Knope levels of adorable.
Aww.
His last note here is, the scoff shirts are awesome.
Yay.
Stay sharp, Jonathan Spies. So... The scuff shirts are awesome. Yeah. We don't have ours yet.
We haven't got ours yet because we live so far.
Because we're in Canada, so they take longer to get to us. They're probably sitting
so
at customs.
Sad. I'm so sad.
But we've seen people posting on the Facebook group. So if you've gotten your scuff shirt, take a picture, post on Facebook or post on Twitter with the hashtag scuff, because I want to put together a.
Like
an album on the Facebook page.
Sweet.
So that everybody can see how awesome they are.
And be
upset that they didn't get them and jealous, so that when we launch our next campaign, they'll all buy t-shirts.
Yeah, they'll all want them.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm going to totally record next. Hopefully we'll get them next week and then I'll wear my scoff shirt.
Hopefully we should have them by next week.
It'll be good. Someone actually tweeted us too about, we did a live, I guess there's a lot of people watching and catching up on our old episodes, which is really great. Mm-hmm. I think people are really starting to get into Arrow. It's just exploding in terms of how many people. And so awesome, people that are listening and catching up to the podcast. So it's awesome. Welcome aboard the Quiver train. People said, so Will Ross tweeted us. And just us personally, and asked, he said, last year you did the live feed on the finale. Ever thought of doing that while you record the show I get every Saturday? So the idea of why we don't necessarily record live feeds all the time, and that's because, I mean, you responded, it's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, it's more work. We have to worry about what we look like.
Yeah. So that's what the shirts made me think, we will do, hopefully, another live feed this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. And then we'll have our awesome Quiver gear, and then everybody can be wearing their Quiver shirts as they watch.
Yeah. It's also a matter of, if we do that every week, what are we going to do for season finales, right?
And people need to join us. Not everybody's available. I think one of the hardest things was what feed we do, because there's East Coast and West Coast, and if people are going to watch it for the first time. Plus, we watch it and then watch it again, so when we watch it again, it's 8 o'clock. By the time the East Coast comes around, it's pretty late. So there's a few reasons why we don't do that, but we do love it. Mostly it's so that I can wear, sweatpants all the time when I'm here.
Yeah, and I think, to pull back the curtain, like Amanda said, it's 8 o'clock generally when we get around to watching the episode when we record.
Yeah.
And it's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I worked, you generally have worked.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're tired. We're very busy people otherwise. And so, I don't want to have to worry about looking good for a live broadcast, as well as sounding good. And the thing is, it's not we could just do the live shows instead. People will still want the podcast.
Yeah.
Which means that we're just adding work onto what we're already doing, because I'd still have to do the podcast anyways.
But we totally, hopefully this year, we will be letting people know when we're doing a live podcast, and hopefully we'll try to aim for one of the bigger sort of, make it an event, and then everybody can join us for a live feed. And always, if people have ideas for cool special events that they'd like to see us do, or you think there's something that would be awesome to see with your Quiver podcast, let us know. Or if you just want to sort of keep listening to the Quiver podcast as a podcast, don't worry, it won't ever go away. These would be additional things.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's just we like to interact with
There will always be the podcast.
Yeah.
Except for the lost panel. that we did over the summer.
Oh, yeah, we did a panel, and it just wasn't recordable, but...
Yeah, people were just, like, shouting things from the crowd.
Yeah, asking questions.
Yeah, and so, we are going to be doing a panel in May
hopefully, at
Northwest Fan Fest, which I've already... Awesome. Not hopefully, like, it's already, like, that's in stone. We don't have, like, a time or anything, because it's obviously a long ways away. Yeah. But it'll be in May, the last weekend of May. So if anybody is in the Vancouver area, like, or you like close enough that you think that you could come for Northwest Fan Fest, we're going to be doing that panel.
It'll be fun.
I'll remind everybody closer to that. But
so we do
hopefully we'll be able to be able to record it and release it for that.
But. Are there, like, I know that there's specific cons for like Supernatural and all these things yet.
Yeah.
Is Arrow going to head towards that direction? Do you think? Are they going to start to be? Like,
I'm sure that at some point, that company that does all of the, I think it's Creation Entertainment.
Yeah, that's right.
But we will never be a part of those. They're like, those aren't conventions. Those are opportunities for people to pay for autographs and pictures. Which, like, they're like, if that's what you want to do, that's cool. But much like Fan Expo, those are
they're not as great. I mean, now
they're not really
fan
based events.
Yeah,
right?
The organic conventions and places where there's people are doing awesome things. But
there's not like a Comic Con or a Dragon Con, where it's really it's about. Interacting with the fans, like, that is about selling merchandise.
But it's very cool that Halloween is sort of, I love when Halloween is my favorite time of year, so it's already, hopefully everybody had a great Halloween, so happy Halloween. But we get to, like, everybody gets to dress up, and it's one of these things where it's like adding another costume to my repertoire of like cosplay costumes, so it's good. I love it. It's when
was your costume this year?
My costume this year, I'm gonna be Artemis, the goddess of the hunt. I was gonna be Hermes, like a hipster dude with cons and stuff, but then I like got off work early and I was in like Maple Ridge and they had like this great value village where you could get like one of those box costumes for like $10, and I was like, I've never bought one of these before.
Okay.
I don't have to make my costume, I can just wear this pre-made costume.
I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed.
I know, because I'm usually something punny. Last year I was a party animals. I was party animals, so I had, like, a party hat and, like, a bunch of animals. But I thought I would just be, like, boring this year. I was like, whatever, I'll just be, like, something. Because I'm never just, like, a thing.
Yeah.
So for me, this is, like, an interesting year. Because, like, one year I went as Pink Floyd obscured by clouds. Like, and then, so, like, my friends all came over the other day, and some of them brought costumes, and I was wearing a pink dress. I'm like, oh, I would have dressed up, so I just put, like, my name tag on. My friend came in, and they're like, are you Pink Floyd again? And I was like, yeah, I didn't think, but yeah, no, so it's just a normal costume for me to be, like, an actual, like, character from Greek mythology. It's, like, a thing. Gotcha. That's, like, a new thing for me to just be a character.
I'm not dressing up this year.
Okay, well.
No costume. Not doing anything on Halloween.
That's
sad. It's weird.
Halloween's the best.
There's nothing going on. I don't know.
Interesting.
There's no, I don't know. It's just like, it's because my friends are all apathetic.
Yeah.
And they're all, I'm like, so what are we doing for Halloween? And I've been saying this for like the last 3 weeks. And it was like, we've got to do something.
Yeah.
And now this week everybody's like, I don't know. I'm just going to stay in. And
no!
It's like,
you got to live in, like, actual Vancouver, and then you could come and do fun things in Vancouver.
Yeah, and next year will be different, because next year it's actually on a Saturday, right?
Right. But it's on Friday this week. That's, like, awesome.
I know, yeah, but that's still, like, work all day.
Right.
Right? Like,
and
if
Daylight
it's on
Savings
a Saturday,
this weekend. You're going to be listening to this on Saturday. Remember Daylight Savings time.
Oh, is that this weekend?
Yes, this weekend. Okay. So we're getting to fall.
Do we get
fall
an extra
back?
Hour?
Yeah, we get an extra hour.
Oh, snap.
So this hour that you're listening
that
to Quiver
so
Podcast,
nice.
You get it back.
Yeah.
You get an extra hour tonight.
Yeah, so nobody can write a bad review about it. Because like, it doesn't matter.
Reviews.
It doesn't count.
We're not talking about Arrow at all yet. We're just sort of meandering. I don't know. I guess because I just...
Actually, I just wanted to mention that I have noticed we've been getting pingbacks on our WordPress site, which means that somebody else is like linking to...
Oh.
Our posts.
Interesting.
Through a WordPress post.
Oh.
And there, like, somebody out there is writing reviews about
the podcast?
About Quiver.
Oh, cool.
I don't remember your name. I think the name of the blog is Flailing Fangirl.
I want to read these.
I think.
That's exciting.
And this is just off the top of my head. I wasn't planning on talking about it.
Yeah.
Cool. But I think, like, that's... It's so weird. It's so weird that, like, the reviews aren't reviews of the episode. They're reviews of us reviewing an episode.
That's awesome.
And I feel like they're generally favorable, but yes. There's always, like, these little bits of criticism that I'm like... The thing with Quiver that's so difficult is that it is so much just us.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's true. Man, and then they just talked about this for, like, whatever, and it's like,
yep.
I can't help but take that personally, because...
Oh, really?
Because it's just us. Like, it's not like... It's not like, I don't know, like, random newscaster B can objectively look at their newscast and go, like, yeah, okay, our newscast wasn't the best, but,
yeah.
You know, like, nothing happened today, so yeah. You can only work with the news that we've got, you know, our cooking segment wasn't that great, and the weather was we were way off.
This is amazing. There are people that are commenting on us,
yeah,
like really negatively, which is hilarious.
Where's that?
There's like a whole bunch of. It's just like the Quiver. It's on Podbay, so it's like people rating it. I guess maybe it's ratings, but it's
give me a negative comment.
Oh, it's there's something here. I really like the unusual format, the in-depth analysis, the excellent dynamic between Mike and Amanda. But it says Amanda can get a little too loud when she gets excited and my eardrums suffer. But that's the only complaint I have, which is good. I guess that wasn't as negative.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
The other stuff, the other one was stop laughing like a stone schoolgirl over the non-funny things. I had to cut out 4 minutes into the latest episode. Funny, you guys just talked about how good podcasters don't know they're on a podcast. I'd say the opposite. Bad podcasters act like they're having a conversation while following their pre-made show notes rigorously. This podcast is awful. That's interesting, though. Do they think we follow
the
show notes?
That's fantastic. Pre-made show notes.
Yeah.
We have no notes. I swear to God. You know what? Right now, I'm going to take a picture of us, and I'm going to post it on our Twitter later, because you will get to see what is on my table right now. This is the setup. There you go. I just took the picture. Yeah. Like, it is literally a phone with a recorder plugged into it.
Oh, this is, like, legit. This is from today. Someone going, ugh. They give it. This is awesome.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love it. I love negative reviews.
This is so great. I love it.
All they do is bolster me.
But the other stuff is, I mean, it's really positive. People are sort of, are reviewing kind of nice, which is awesome. And so, yay. Thank you for commenting on us. The one thing I think that we can offer, we can actually transition into the episode,
yeah.
is stuff that I think is really cool, is that we can offer certain perspectives. Like, this whole episode, it was the Flash that was in the Orpheum, and then this episode's all Nitrobi Gardens, which I love.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time there. A lot of time. I got a privileged pass and have gone twice. But it's beautiful. I do love it.
We'll
talk a little bit.
The ones in Richmond?
No. Oh, wait. Maybe it's not Nitrobi. It's the one downtown. It's that sort of... It's right in Chinatown. It's like the classical Chinese gardens actually is what it is. It's not Nitobe. It's the classical Chinese gardens.
Because there's also the Japanese gardens.
There is Nitobe gardens. Yeah. But it's the Yun said, I don't know. It's the name of a person, a Chinese classical garden, and it actually is legitimately a classical garden.
Yeah, it's one of the great things about living in a city.
And it's totally authentic. Like, all the stuff in there is real. I mean, we have such great Chinese heritage that's here in Canada because of all the railway stuff at the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah, horrible circumstances. But we kind of have benefits today.
And one of the things I think that's really, really interesting is that the Chinese opera would come to British Columbia because there was such a great, a big population here and people would watch it. But it was so expensive to ship the costumes back that they just left them in British Columbia.
Yeah.
And then during the Cultural Revolution, when everything sort of got wiped out of China, we now have one of the largest collections of Chinese, classical Chinese opera, costumes, which is, I think, it's just, a fascinating,
that's crazy.
Historical
that's awesome.
Coincidence or accident, so.
Wow, okay.
It's cool.
On that note, let's actually watch the episode and
talk about how we actually
are we all queued up?
Can you tell that we don't use notes where we just talk about our own stuff for, 17 minutes?
Pre-made show notes. First of all, there is no time for us to pre-make show notes.
Yeah.
The only thing that could be considered show notes is that it's like, well, we know that the intro happens before the email, and then we talk about the episode. That's our show notes right there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, we're going to start the episode right now with Oliver Queen in 5 years in hell and all that business.
Yeah, and getting around
people. Kicked. There are some people who really don't like these.
I like them.
I like it. I like it, and I like it. I was talking to Crystal about it when we were watching Flash, mm-hmm. and I said to her, like, every issue of a comic book, not every issue, but like a lot of like the main superhero comic books, there will be like this block at the top or the bottom mm-hmm. that says like the Spider-Man one. I've read it so many times that I kind of know it by rote. It's mm-hmm. like Peter Parker was an average, ordinary high school student until one day he was bitten by a radioactive spider and gained the proportional strength of a spider and, you know, like all that stuff. Like, it's at the beginning of every one of those comic books. You crack open a Spider-Man, it says
I love how this... It goes straight from Where is Sarah from the previous eon right into the episode.
I love it when they do that.
Ugh, it's just so brilliant that they can do that.
So, like, the fact that they do it at the beginning of every episode of Arrow and every episode of Flash, I like it. Because it feels like a comic book. It's like, just in case you forgot, you're reading a Green Arrow comic book. It's like,
and
that's what it is.
The thing is, it works somewhat better for The Flash because The Flash is sort of episodic. So, like, my mom could watch it tonight and sort of get what it was. Yeah. Because in the beginning he goes, I'm the fastest man
alive. You're also only four episodes in.
It is true. Truth. Anyways, oh, man, look at her act her butt off in this scene. She just
Nyssa is a great character.
She's just she filled the hole that Felicity left this week on Arrow. Sort of.
It was noticeable though.
It was a noticeable hole. I was actually quite upset. One of the reasons I really did catch up on Flash was because I thought that Felicity would obviously be back for this episode. Like I really was expecting her to be around. I wanted to see where she was, but I was like, no, they just like she just left and
wasn't here. In the episode of Flash, at the point where she says, "I just need to check in with everybody in Starling City," I thought there was going to be a moment
where they happened concurrently.
But it didn't end up happening that way. But it was at that point watching last night that I realized like she's not going to be
probably
on this
not
episode.
In the episode. Yeah,
so we kind of talked over all of that. That was. Nyssa showing up, pointing the arrow at the arrow, and saying, "Where's Sarah?" And then that
realizing,
the moment. Oliver doesn't even have to say it because the line of work that they're in, she just gets it. Like she's just like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
And now we're at dinner with Oliver and Thea,
where she's just got a investor to help her restart Verdant.
I am so dumb. I watched it the first time, and I'm just like. Oh, she got some investors. I wonder who's investing. And then this, like, Amanda, when you got here,
I had to rewatch the first
5 minutes because you missed it.
Yeah.
And when she said it, I was like, oh, Merlin.
Yeah.
Dodoy. Dodoy on me. I felt like such an idiot.
I sort of didn't care enough to see who her investors were. So I didn't
think about it. You were just like, plot point.
Yeah. It was just
This guy looks like he's just enjoying a nice stroll.
These flashbacks, you were sort of saying, though, these flashbacks don't give away a ton more. Look at these extras walk, man.
Inconsequential,
they were just so totally in the front of frame. But anyways, inconsequential sort of flashbacks this year, a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is...
so far. I mean, I think one thing that happens in this episode is that we get some backstory...
On Waller and
we get answers to questions that we forgot that we cared about.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Because like I think there was a certain point last season where I turned to you and said like, wait a second, did we ever figure out what Fires was trying to accomplish and who he was working for?
No, we didn't.
Because after that, all of a sudden it was just like Mirakuru. Like, it was just the total drive of last season. So it's nice that in this episode we finally get closure on that story of like, oh, that's what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
It was all, and a really cool connection because like it just sort of connects China White back into the story.
Yeah.
And obviously she's going to show up later this season,
awesome.
I think we saw her once last season.
It's kind of cool.
But she was a major player in season one. So.
And so this is an interesting exchange. Laurel still keeping up, being awesome. This shirt, actually, she's wearing is really beautiful.
All I can think of when Nyssa at the end of this conversation says, "That's Sarah's jacket. I gave it to her.
Yeah.
You're not fit to wear it or whatever."
Yeah.
All I could think was like, yeah, because that's a really inappropriate outfit to pair it with. Yeah. It does, every time Sarah wore that jacket, I was like, yeah.
It works.
Yeah, you are the coolest person on this show. You're my favorite character. And then when Laurel wears it, it's like, you stole that. You stole that from your sister's closet. And
Can I just say, though, how beautiful this romance is between Nyssa and Sarah, yeah. even though Sarah's gone? I just love the emotion and the gravity of their connection. And I think that that's really, really beautiful. And I love that there's a really strong through line that's carrying on for that.
And there's really a lot of subtext here, because Katrina Law, who plays Nyssa, is doing an excellent job of showing what you said, the emotional aspect of that. But then Laurel has these really weird emotions around it.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is that it's a shock, right? Mm-hmm. She thought that she knew her sister, but then she mm-hmm. finds out this other aspect of her sister, that she was in a relationship with a woman, mm-hmm. which I think for anybody, if you feel like you know someone mm-hmm. and then you find out this information, it's you need to deal with it, right? You need to process it. And Laurel is constantly confronted this episode mm-hmm. with Nyssa, who represents these two aspects of Sarah's character, that both the the assassin dark part, but then this very grounded, real story of
intimacy that's outside.
I didn't
of
know
do.
My sister, yeah. right? Yeah. I thought that I knew her. I thought that we trusted each other. Mm-hmm. This is something that I feel like I should have known, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And so every time Nyssa mentions that, you can kind of see a little bit behind Laurel's eyes of you think that that you were in love with mm-hmm. Sarah, but I don't think that you were, it's almost like this doubt thing until the end of the episode where she kind of has a moment, they kind of reconcile that, which I thought never said mm-hmm. all subtext, and maybe I'm reading that into it, but I feel like that undercurrent is there. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons why this story of Nyssa and Sarah, I think, is one of the coolest, not typical romance stories that's on TV right now. So many shows use it as a headline, Orange is the New Black. It's that's one of the things. It's a bunch of women in a prison. There's going to be some lady on lady, right? Mm-hmm. It's a bullet point on their one sheet.
Right.
Whereas, we never talk about it on Arrow. Yeah. The show never talks about it. Mm-hmm. But it's there, right? These really interesting aspects of characters.
Yeah.
And we just talked all over
the Merlin's back.
The big reveal.
Seeing that Sarah has...
In Roy's trailer. I mean, Sarah's
safe house. Yeah. But that she was here and surveilling him and there's photos and things like that. So...
Yeah, we're just fast-forwarding through commercials, through Geico commercials. I don't know. I think that the show just does such great things with its characters. Mm-hmm. Without saying anything. I mean, last week we talked a lot about Lila's character.
Yeah.
And how much she was... I saw an alley shot and almost, stopped or played the episode.
It was a flash, yeah.
Here, we're back to the episode now. In the arrow cave, in the quiver. They're dealing with this whole idea that Malcolm is back.
Yeah.
Oliver is just like, dang it.
Having to deal with everything.
I gotta kill this guy again. I don't kill anybody anymore. Which is a really big part of this episode, I think.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, which is a big reminder. Oh, you know what? That's the juxtaposition between the him starting off as a killer and him now not being a killer with the flashbacks. This is the scene that they released beforehand, where the boy is sort of saying,
"Well,
no offense, your mom kind of sucked."
Yeah.
Which is a kind of where he's sort of sitting in the background, going, "What did I say?"
I love it because, it's a moment of Oliver acknowledges that you're talking about my dead mom, and then Roy acknowledges yes, but you can't discount what I'm saying about your dead mom. And so, they just move on from it.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about with, the Lila thing and everything.
Realism,
so much is said in this show without, us
actually,
wasting the
time
of,
talk about it.
Yeah, 15-minute scene. Because guess what? We got stories to tell.
Yeah.
There's too much going on in this world
to
stop and explain everybody's feelings all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I love this, that they're bringing in the the book a little bit, like this piece of paper thing, because someone did mention, they were like, what happened to that list? Like, where is it? Like, how come he's not...
He threw it in the fire. He got rid of it at the end of season one.
Yeah, but the idea that he did... sorry, what was it? Someone didn't say that. They were like, he did have a mission before, and now he seems like he's wandering. That was someone's criticism of the show. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. But this is so cool that they're bringing back this paper and the way of communicating.
To that person, I would just say that you missed the point of the first season. Because the whole point of the first season is that was misguided. Like, his mission was misguided, and he thought his father was somebody that he wasn't. Anyways. So now they've got a little bit to go on. They've got a name, right?
From what Sarah was looking for.
This Jansen guy. And so everybody has a role to play on this team. I think it's so great because in a second, like, Laurel's going to come in and try and get the information from Captain Lance, Detective Captain Lance.
I love that they do little things to go here and show just how great of a character Lance is, where he's like, that was not a cool thing. The chief was mad, but good job, guys. Here, go have some alcohol.
You caught that bookie, and the chief says don't catch bookies that the chief is a client of, but I say good job. Go buy a round on me.
Which I thought
was a little bit weird, because he's like, he's an alcoholic, but then he's like, go buy alcohol. But... that's okay. He's okay with it, so I'm okay with it.
So this is his last known act. So she is... What is it? He is sending now Laurel to where the information he gave Sarah, right? So who he was looking into, which is interesting.
Yeah, that name.
And we still have Laurel not telling her dad. This was really sad. I almost cried near the end of this episode when he, like, calls Sarah.
Oh.
I was like, oh.
It's rough.
It's really rough. It's rough. Just going to break him so much when he finds out. And it's just really...
I just hope it's not permanent damage.
Permanent broken? I hope it's not permanent broken either.
I feel like there's not really many characters left that we can lose.
I know.
Like, they gotta introduce somebody frivolous halfway through the season so that they can die at the end.
But then that's defeats the purpose.
It does defeat the purpose.
But it's, you know... It's
See, crazy. So this is another one of those scenes that I was talking about where, like, there is, like, a... There's a subtext underneath this where they're arguing about what's on the surface, but really, like, the argument is much deeper than that. It's like, because it's the same mission. They're both trying to do the same thing. So you would think, like, why don't they just work together? But
because they care in different ways too, though, right? It's like this idea, which I just think is really interesting.
It's almost like a tug of war of, like, I loved her more than
which is interesting. I love that Detective Lance, like, treats her with a lot of respect, too, which is really awesome. And calls it... He did.
He referred to it as the Halloween costume.
Yeah, the Halloween costume note. Well, this is written by Mark Guggenheim and Wendy. That Wendy is... She's doing a lot of stuff. Or he. I don't know if it's a she or he. I think it's a she. Anyways, this is the garden. I love this garden.
And Jensen's a Buddhist monk.
Yes.
This is his monastery.
Yes.
I love that Roy says in his garden, and then she corrects his, like, monastery.
This is the greatest scene where they're just standing around in their costumes. This is what I meant when I'm like, there's a lot of costumes. They're just standing around in their costumes talking, which I think is interesting. And then Diggle is just like, there is no point to bring Diggle with you not dressed up if you are dressed up as the arrow. Like, then it's, like, obvious.
I feel like he should have grabbed, like, one of the Mirakuru guy's masks and then just, like, repainted it, like, camo because he's army dude.
Cool.
That's army dude. That's his new...
He should just be an army dude. It's good.
Somebody at the New York Comic Con panel, somebody brought up the idea that Diggle needs a costume.
Yeah.
And Stephen Amell was like, yes, Diggle needs a costume. And then somebody in the... Like, he needs a superhero identity. And somebody in the crowd yelled out, Black Driver.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, half the crowd was like, they said something bad.
Yeah.
And then Stephen was like, no, it was in an episode.
Yeah.
Like, we called him that in an episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Diggle said it himself, right? Yeah. Like, he referred to himself as Black Driver.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then
people made him a superhero.
Yeah.
They're making this space look much bigger than it actually is.
Yeah, yeah.
They keep reshooting the same
stuff.
It's fantastic. Because it's actually quite a small garden.
Yeah.
But it is beautiful. And then, of course, John Barrowman, obviously that's John Barrowman's head. Like, he looks like John Barrowman. Or, you know, Merlin or the magician.
His chin is so cleft.
Yeah.
We can sense it from the back of his head.
Yes. And anyways, and so they see here that Jensen died in 2012 because they found his grave. And so they are, she is saying, find where Merlin is. And obviously that's John Barrowman. I don't understand how you can think it's not.
I'm good with the slow reveal, though, because it's like, we know, but she doesn't.
Yeah, fair.
And I love his, no weapons, but he's still gonna own a little bit here.
He can dodge arrows very quickly.
And his ninja vanish.
This was such a, serenity moment where she just throws the stuff, and it's like... so this is interesting. So, Ollie shoots at John Barrowman. What's his name? Merlin. Right? But doesn't actually kill him. And so you're like, what's going on? How come he just, missed? And you're like, wow, that's not, Ollie. Yeah. What is that?
She's got commercial here. I feel like part of that was him, he didn't see Merlin's face, right? So I felt part of it was that he did that so that, he would look over his shoulder and that he could confirm who it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's going to be revealed in the next scene that the intent was to lace him with this tracking device.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, and not to kill him, because Arrow doesn't kill. He's a superhero.
It's a new mission.
A good guy, and he doesn't kill people. Oh my goodness, this is the longest commercial break ever. We apologize for the length of this commercial break.
Let's talk about, I don't know, the salmon ladder joke in Flash.
Yeah, in Flash was pretty good.
It was so back here.
Back in the Arrow Cave. A lot of this episode's
Laura's
in the
Arrow Cave. Always in the Arrow Cave now. She's sort of just there waiting for him when he comes back. It's sort of interesting. Now, is there anybody besides Thea that doesn't know that he's the Arrow? I feel like everybody now knows it.
It's Roy. Roy. Ray. So, and somebody I think tweeted at us or sent us an email saying stop calling Ray Roy. There's a Roy on the show. And it's that's why we keep making the mistake.
Yeah, it's because it's a Roy on the show.
You talk about Arrow for an hour and a bit and see if you don't mix them up.
I call Mike the wrong name almost every day.
It's Ray and Thea are the only ones
that don't know.
And then
Lance doesn't know it's
technically he doesn't, but I think he does.
Yeah. I think he just willfully. That's the thing, is he willfully doesn't know so that he can say under oath that he doesn't know who it is.
Yeah,
right?
Plausible deniability, right? Exactly. He's I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able
Her
to say that I
agree. Her costume is so cool.
It's great. It's fantastic.
We just totally talked over this, but the idea that Laura's like, you need to kill Merlin!
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And I love that he had to talk to each one of these individuals. He's like, first I'll talk to Laura, then I'll talk to Nisa, then I'll talk to Roy, and now I'll talk to
He's the leader, right?
Yeah,
and then
good.
like. They
all check in with him. Anyways, she told me an idiot could run it. I love this.
I'll try not to take that personally. That's what I said to you, that even though Felicity was not in the episode, she still managed to quip.
Yeah.
I mean, she is technically in the last,
she is,
seconds,
but she managed to quip during the episode without being
there. Oh, this poor guy just wants to enjoy his ice cream in peace. He's just taking in the sights in Hong Kong. I think Jonathan is kind of right, because he's a handler, right?
Right.
He technically hasn't done anything wrong himself.
Yeah.
He just follows the orders and just sort of gives information back and forth, right? He's working for Amanda Waller, for Argus, so
I think he's just a regular guy. It's sort of it's this hard place, right? So here we bought the, now there's these, I love that there's these continual scenes between Laurel and Nisa. Is that this idea that
it's kind of a conversation over the course of three scenes.
Yeah, where you develop and they come to a different sort of this understanding. This is the scene, right? This is the scene where they do try to understand one another, right? Where Laurel is like, yes, we do have a similar objective, right?
A little bit. It's still begrudging, though, right?
Yeah,
still, that look in her eyes to me is still the look of I don't fully believe that what you had with my sister is what you think it was.
Yeah.
Right? I knew her better than you.
Yeah.
That's a Laurel thing, is that you think you know my sister, but I know my sister better than anybody.
Yeah.
She's said that several times on the show.
And Laurel certainly, you can see that, look her up and down sort of type thing.
Yeah.
Laurel's got a lot of darkness.
Yeah.
It's sort of really interesting.
She's just got all this, misdirected anger right now, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I said, all that stuff that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Laurel processing everything, yeah, right? Yeah. It's processing that her sister died. It's processing this dual life that,
yeah,
she had. Because,
yeah,
it seems like she's always finding out these new things.
Yeah.
Apparently, there are... Thea owns no shirts with a midriff.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm super hard shipping, though, Roy and Thea again.
Yeah.
And I didn't care about them at all, really, last year. And now I'm like, just get back together. You guys are meant to be together.
I have such a hard time with Thea dressing like that because I know Willa Holland from the OC.
Yeah.
And she was very young on the OC.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, my brain still goes back there. And so, like, I think I have, like, an older brother reaction, probably the reaction that Oliver has whenever he sees the outfits that she's wearing, of, like, just
put a shirt on.
Just cover up a little bit, right?
It's like, okay. My problem is that they're very 90s. It's very 90s to wear a shirt that's like a halter belly shirt. Oh, anyways, so we totally talked over this, but Diggle completely, like, leading Ollie into this abandoned, what is it, like, air conditioner warehouse or something? And then, of course, Merlin saying, obviously you can't track me, I'm the magician. So, saying that he will actually meet Ollie at a different place if he wants to talk. And then that actually happening, which is cool. So them meeting downtown. I almost thought that they were, the Flash had a big scene in a park, which was downtown.
Yeah.
Like the big park right outside Van City Theater.
Yeah.
And this is, there's Scotiabank Tower in the background. Like,
this is really close. This is Royal Center. This is where I often go for lunch because there's a White Spot Triple O's, which will mean nothing to our listeners because White Spot is only in BC.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad, kind of. I mean, as far as, like, fast food chains go, it's relatively decent. So anyways, I like
hearing that. Triple O's is fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
But
their chicken fingers are delicious. Anyways, Merlin here asserting that he still owns his town. I love it that this episode is the episode that's like us going, he's a main character now, we have to fit him back into this city, and how to do that. And this is a great argument, right? This idea that it's illogical for him to kill Nisa's girlfriend, like, if he's got a bounty on his head, right? So it's just, like, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I really do like that. Like, you've got to love that Ollie's a smart guy and he understands what, like, Merlin's thought process, and he does understand Merlin a little bit in this moment. And my big thing
they're angry whispering each other to death in this scene, and I love it.
Yeah.
They're so good together. Like, the chemistry between the two actors is just palpable.
Yeah. It's super cool.
I love watching it without sound. It's fantastic because you just get to see the expression on their faces.
Yeah.
So good. So good. I love having John Barrowman not only back but as a regular this season. It's such an asset to the show.
Cool. Very cool.
With,
I am, like, intensely sad that he will, like, not be back on Doctor Who. But I'll deal with it. Anyways.
Yeah. Good though. So we're kind of, we've got a little bit.
This shot is great. This crane shot too, where you get the whole, like, looking down at the square.
Yeah, so we're just going through the commercials now, and talking about John Barrowman and how fantastic he is and how great it is to have him on the show. But there's like a big hole that they had to fill with somebody.
Yeah.
Because we lost both Manu Bennett.
Oh,
who had been on
and
a lot of season
one
and season two.
Yeah.
Right? And we lost Moira.
Right. Oh, yeah. Wow,
and we lost Sarah, right? So we lost three characters basically at the end of last season, beginning of this season.
Yeah.
We're back into it now. So they had to fill it with something, right?
And so that is Merlin coming in. This coffee shop looks remarkably similar to The Flash as well. But it's great that Sophia and Ollie having a lot of scenes together, actually just going out for coffee and drinking, because I guess they can't be around the house anymore.
The Grind and Jolt Cafe is just a terrible, like, somebody tell me if that's like a reference to something.
Hopefully.
Because if not, it's just bad production design. Yeah. Like, it's just like, we needed to come up with a name of a cafe.
It's not like bad. You don't, it's...
I think Grind and Jolt is a pretty bad... Like, would you drink coffee at a place called the Grind and Jolt?
I don't know. I drink coffee everywhere.
Meet me down at the Grind and Jolt Cafe. No.
Hopefully it's a reference.
You at the Starbucks.
Surely it's a reference to something.
It must be.
I like that they're going back here to talk about... So he feels bad and that he's, like, lying to or doesn't want to lie to her, right? So finding out about Merlin.
Yeah.
So sitting down to talk to Thea. And I like this here where Thea, you can tell she doesn't know if he knows about her, right? And it's sort of bringing that up. You can sort of see her skirting around that right now. Yeah. So
it's interesting because we don't know what Malcolm has told her to say.
Right.
And what she's just doing on her own. Right. Like,
motivation is?
Like yeah, what she's yeah, doing. Like, yeah. Or, like, just how she's kind of running with it. Like, how she's gonna sort of take the situations as they come.
Right.
I think it's interesting how Oliver is like, I said no more secrets. Oh, except for that one really big secret. But other than that, no secrets? It's like, well, how do you know that Malcolm is back? Yeah. Well, Sarah told me. Why does Sarah know?
Yeah.
Like, does Thea know that Sarah is a superhero?
Yeah.
Because I don't think that Thea knows that, right?
Yeah.
Like, where's the... Like, I don't quite understand.
She stopped kind of caring when she realized she had secrets, which is sort of interesting.
Yeah.
What are Roy and Diggle doing? They're just, like, sciencing. They're like, let's science the sciencey science. Like, just, like, walking around and, like, using beakers. I don't know.
Well, they must be working on something.
There.
I don't know. Diggle had, like, rubber gloves.
He did. They're, like, doing some sort of science, but I don't remember them having anything to do. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe they're coding some arrow tips or something.
Who knows?
Like, they got stuff to do.
Yeah. But anyways, so here we have got Nyssa that came back. Is it Nyssa? Nyssa?
I don't think it matters.
That came back and is...
Roz, Raish, whatever.
Yeah, is getting mad at Ollie because Ollie won't kill Merlin. And here we've just got the reveal that it is Merlin's daughter.
Oh!
Scoffs from Nyssa.
Yep, she got the scoff this week.
So this is a big reveal, right? Nobody knew this outside of him and Thea, basically. So brand new information, and the leak didn't know either, which I think was new information. I didn't know how much they knew about Merlin and how much not.
Yeah,
I like this episode's kind of about Merlin, but it's not like a Merlin episode. It's people talking about Merlin, which I think I kind of expected something different from an episode entitled "The Magician." I thought it would be more about like more Merlin doing his own thing, but it's people talking about Merlin, which I think is just kind of interesting. I don't know.
I like Diggle's comment here of, like, maybe he killed Sarah, maybe he didn't, but either way, like, the world is a better place without him in it.
Yeah.
And then Oliver gives Roy this look, and Roy's just like, yeah. Like,
yeah,
yes. Sort of, like, yeah, let just let,
let her
Nyssa
do,
do,
let her be.
Do what she's gonna do. And I think that Oliver was prepared to let that go down until Nyssa made the mistake of involving Thea.
Yeah,
right?
Because that was silly.
Yeah.
That was silly on her part. I don't know why she would do that.
Because she doesn't care about their silly little family deal, right? Like, she's thinking about Sarah, and she's thinking about the League and what needs to be done. And she's been trained to be ruthless, right? Like, that's what it is.
Fair.
And I think that, like, there's an interesting parallel there, because Oliver is coming back from being that sort of person. Right?
Yeah.
We see him just coldly stab this guy and walk away, right?
Yeah.
Now he's got this USB drive that he's gonna...
I thought he was supposed to steal the keys. I thought that was, like, the thing. Like,
I thought so,
guy,
too. I thought that, like, that, yeah.
But you're like, no,
it's just Oliver being clever
and
quick.
And so this is interesting. So the little kid having a computer and him trying to... calling Ollie a bum, which I love. And Ollie, like, of course,
like,
this is Abercrombie Ollie, though, going, I'll get you candy. Like, his quickness isn't there. Like, he's not quite as crafty as he could. I don't know. It's like, I'll get you candy.
It works.
It does. It's good. It's sort of, there's, like, this gentler version of him when he talks to kids or when he's trying to be later. Like,
there
it's
is.
Sort of an interesting. It's actually more, I feel, like Stephen Amell, right? Because he's not super the same in all this stuff, but there is, like, a lightness to who he is as a person. And then finding out about Ferris Air Flight 637, which I had completely forgotten about.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that anybody
totally
watching was like, oh, yeah, Ferris Air
Flight 637. I didn't know. I thought it was something new, like we were going to now trace a new plane of some kind. I didn't know what it was. Oh, it's the end. Roy leaving Verdant, and the cool, awesome, flippy in thing, and Roy flipping off that car. Look at that. That was great.
I don't know how he does that.
I know.
I mean, like, he has a very compact body.
Yeah.
So I think, like, the way that he can move it, yeah.
Right. But it's the going into a ball and flipping over. And then Thea seeing that if she's going to protect him. And what I think was interesting here was that Thea saw Roy's eyes still open.
Yeah.
So couldn't attack Nyssa. Because Roy would then see her defending herself. So it's a...
It was an interesting moment of, like, is something going to get revealed? But but nope, nothing.
Yeah.
So just fast-forwarding through commercials. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting reveal when everybody finds out that she's
Because we don't even really know what she does, right? Like, we're not quite sure what her...
She probably spins around a lot and fights really close. With spinny moves.
Just like everybody else.
Yeah, just like everybody else on the show. They're all kind of ninja-y, but not really. Like, nondescript ninja moves.
Yeah.
That's the arrow. I was thinking about it because, like, they've sort of distinguished themselves this way, and then Flash has this other way of doing things.
Yeah.
That's very superpowered-based.
Right.
But this episode... And we're back in. This episode sort of exemplified that aspect of Arrow.
Yeah.
That, like, that's how we do things in the Arrow universe, we flip around and we jump around on buildings and objects
that's
and stuff.
Do, yeah.
And then we have fights in factories.
Yeah.
That's...
Gotta love this purple. So the purple smokes at Merlin in his lovely apartment, which I guess Thea is staying at or something. Because he comes in asking where she is. So purple smoke... And then we come back to the quiver, and Laurel has been firing this off of a traffic camera. It looks seems way too high to see that photo from a traffic camera. But anyways, so purple smoke.
Also, point at, like, traffic cameras in industrial areas, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's okay. It works.
So the smoke signal, right? A message. Yeah. I kind of like this. We've got your daughter cipher. I love to go, like, I don't need to decipher this, but that's probably what it is. And here, Diggle just totally realizes, yes, I can't go with you because people will notice me and know that you are Ollie. So at least he did that once during it. And I love that Roy just totally doesn't put up a fight there, where Ollie's like, you can't come because you're full of tranquilizer. And he goes, that is correct.
Okay. I like that they have an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that Roy is just like, yeah, okay. Like, that's how his character goes, because Laurel is... The petulant, like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to be a superhero anyways.
Yeah.
That's her story this season. This bugged me so much.
Like,
give the girl a hair clip.
I love it. No, I love that her hair was hanging down. It was just so cool. And it's, I don't know, it's just like, how long can you actually hang your lead actress upside down? Because they actually show, because this is obviously a stunt double. So that they don't have to just, like, hang the lead actress there for a little bit. But that is, like, tough to act upside down. She has to act upside down.
Yeah.
And it's just that it's, like, clearly she is upside down because the hair is there. Like, I just think it's... I thought it was really funny. Plus, it's, like, her new haircut. I don't know.
It's not especially flattering.
No. Well. So I like this interesting... So before Ollie's obviously swooped in and was cool here. But this that exchange between Nyssa and her... This idea that Nyssa said, I am the heir to the demon, but your dad is the devil...
Yeah.
Which I think is really an interesting. These daughters are important. There's a lot of important daughter dad relationships in this show, which I think is really actually fascinating. Wow, I totally just realized how many daughter dads there are, and how important that is to a lot of different things. There are a lot of women. I mean, we sort of talk about that a lot, but that there's these really strong women in a lot of these. And so here Merlin comes in, and this is so cool. That now the three of them are going to have a fight. And that is just really epic. Oh, I thought that I can't even, there's not much to say. Just like
no, it's just a really cool
Merlin
fight.
Merlin and Nyssa and Ollie fight.
It's very spinny. It's very flippy.
And their hoods are all staying on very well.
Swishy.
There's hoods and masks. They're staying on with their quivers or, I don't know, like, I don't even know how to really describe this. But, then Nyssa just gets completely arrowed to a wall.
Well, not arrowed. I mean, arrowed arrow generally means through the chest or
no,
in the
but
body.
Like
but yeah,
pinned against like, it. Yeah. I just think that that's interesting that she's just
completely. Well, I love that Merlin shoots three arrows at once.
Yeah, and then they just pin her, right? Yeah, that is really awesome.
Now that the fighting is done, we can take the masks off because John Barrowman's not as young as he used to be.
John Barrowman has to take his mask off each time he talks. I don't know why, but I guess maybe because it's just too...
Because when the mask is on, the stunt double can do all of the flippy moves
right,
and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when the mask is off, he's going to talk.
He can do something.
He's going to give his performance.
But it's just like he's the only person who he has to take his mask off to do the talking because everybody else can sort of leave theirs on.
Well, she's got like a veil.
Yeah,
and then
yeah, so you can
with
see him.
With Oliver's, most of his face is actually there.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. Yeah, so it's like
but
it is.
With,
just really,
but with
yeah.
Malcolm's mask, Malcolm's mask has a face mask
right, so
as well
yeah.
as the hood, so it's
yeah.
really just like an eye slit, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
there's not a lot,
yeah.
you don't get a lot through that.
Yeah. So Merlin here, again, having sort of a repeat of this conversation earlier, the idea
yeah.
of, are you going to kill me, or do you believe me? And then walking away, and then Ollie raising his bow here,
yeah,
and realizing, yeah, no, if even though you didn't kill Sarah, so he does believe that, that you are not a good person. And then, of course, this terrible conundrum that
yeah.
we're all faced with is he's going, you can't keep me prisoner, right? It's just you're not
yeah.
able to do that, so you either have to kill me or let me go. And it's just such a terrible dilemma that Ollie has to face here.
I think it's a fantastic aspect because one of the problems with comic books is that, like, if you catch the Joker every week,
yeah,
it gets a little, like, how does he keep escaping from Arkham,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so they've written that out of the scenario of, like, he's
yeah.
just gonna escape, so
yeah,
don't
so,
even bother arresting
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And even though we know that he's going to get up to no good, like, we'll deal with it when it comes.
Well, that was
right?
an interesting closed caption where it said Nisa groaning and gasping. So it was like a double intense thing there, which I thought was interesting. But yeah, and Merlin, oh, something that we sort of talked over
yeah.
As we were fast-forwarding through commercials here is that he was saying you can't even keep me in your prison and Leon you, because we always forget
yeah.
that... Slade is still there.
I feel like that was a bit
arrow,
of a threat.
It
was a it little
was,
bit of a threat.
Because what you saw, Ollie sort of lowers bow for a second and then put it back up again
yeah.
and he realizes what that was. So it's, yeah, it's sort of very
yeah.
threatening in that Merlin is powerful.
And we're back into the episode. The idea that Merlin could very easily bring Slade back
yeah,
and make
just...
Oliver's life a living hell, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was sort of the implication there.
Yeah.
Once again, as I said before, like, so much is said without saying anything.
Yeah. It's super great.
Unless you're Felicity, who is going to show up in a couple of minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Felicity says the things that don't need to be said.
Yeah.
I love.
And so here, Nisa is basically saying, I vow to find who it is that killed Sarah. And here we have Ollie's assertion that as long as Malcolm Merlin is in the city, then he's under Ollie's protection. Which kind of like this, that Ollie is really the guardian of the city.
Yeah.
And everybody in it. And that's a big threat for the League of Assassins, which is, and that they're going to find out what happened to Sarah.
Yeah. I feel like this aspect of it was a little tiny bit contrived.
It was
in order just so that they
right?
can well, just so that they could get the League, because right now the League is kind of like indifferent to
yeah,
Oliver,
they don't care.
If not
yeah.
like at least Nisa and Sarah were allied with Oliver.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like there was an aspect of like we're gonna just let him do his thing because
yeah.
It, we don't
yeah.
care, and like we're indifferent.
Yeah.
But now they're yeah. going to bring down the wrath of Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, which is interesting. And then in this flashback, so we've got Waller in the flashback here, where we're talking about that it's actually Fryers that shot. Remember, he was trying to shoot down that plane, and Ollie stopped him, right? Ollie and Slade thwarted his attempts to bring down that plane. Which I think is really interesting to bring in consequences for something that happened, like, was that last season or the season before?
Two seasons ago.
That's
yeah.
insane. And really awesome, and just great script writing, and just
yeah.
really awesome. So, I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're bringing it back, but, as we're going to discover in a second, the reason why we're bringing it back is to get back to China White, who we've talked about it a lot on the show. The origin story for Oliver in this version of the Green Arrow is based very much on Year One. Mm-hmm. And in Year One, China White is basically the main villain, mm-hmm. right? So the fact that, like, she was a big part of Season One, and mm-hmm. she was really one of the main villains of Season One, along with Malcolm.
Yeah.
Like, that first half when it was all the, like, drug lords and the,
you know,
crossing people off the list, China White kept popping up in Starlight City.
And we have this here that she was the whole reason for them bringing in that plane that Amanda was willing to kill.
Yeah, yeah. So she was going to blow up that whole plane just to deal with China White. Because China White is a very dangerous, very bad person. We haven't seen the extent of it on this show, but in the comics, she's... Like slave labor, drug lord, like,
so it'll be awesome to bring it all back in, which is really cool.
So I think that's what we're gonna get back to here in the Hong Kong flashbacks, is how big of a deal China White is.
Oh, I didn't realize this gym was called Wildcat Gym.
Yeah, it's called
until
Wildcat
this episode
gym.
When there's all these Wildcat Gym things around. And I love how Laurel's still beat up. I think that's a really important part.
Yeah, she's still recovering. But she's also in the process of
becoming, getting buff.
This was the moment where the characters sort of reconcile their differences, which I think is interesting considering where she's left things with Oliver.
Right, yeah.
Where Nisa has left things with Oliver, which is, like, very adversarial, like, you've made an enemy of the League.
But then
she comes to Laurel and says this, and this just points more towards what I was saying, which is that I think that we're going to end up with Wildcat, Laurel, and maybe even Thea as, like, a separate side of Starling City that's almost like they're doing their thing, and then Oliver is doing his thing, and very much like, stop operating in my city, sort of, right? So I think that there's going to be, like, I think either in the second half of this season or next season, there's going to be conflict there. There's going to be issues.
Yeah. So this is the phone call between. So he's just leaving a voicemail for Sarah, saying you don't have to return my call, which is even more heartbreaking, right? The idea that we're like, we know she's not going to return your call. It's so sad. But him just saying, I love you, which is setting him up to be just broken later, which is interesting. I really like that we're bringing Vernon back. I actually just was, like, sad that this space was unused, so I think it's kind of cool that the space is going to be used. At least she's wearing coveralls over top of her midriff shirt this time.
But I noticed that it is, like, a crop top?
Yeah, a crop top. She's wearing crop tops. Maybe her costume's going to be a crop top. I feel like she's just continually wearing crop tops. It's just, like, an interesting...
Like her, when she gets into, like, her ninja outfit, it's gonna have, like, just the whole midsection. I mean, to be fair, Willa Holland is in fantastic shape and pulls off that look.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love these Zen jokes that are going back between Thea and Roy. It's just super cute. I love them together.
I like how these, like, the characters have grown up so much on the show.
Even though
they're still the young ones, like, they're
still, like, grown. They're now, like, able to be in the same sort of team as Ollie, right? Which is great.
And I do like that they're being mature, and it's a platonic relationship of it's very clear that it's not platonic.
Yeah,
that
but
both
they,
of them
they want
to get back together.
Yeah, but that it's sort of. But they both know that they would just lie to each other too much, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
But that Thea sort of knows that Roy is doing interesting things with the arrow, which is cool. And that he's going to now be the assistant manager.
Yeah.
Yay, that's cool. And of course, we've been assuming these phone calls that Thea's been getting all day have been from Merlin, but of course, she just walks away and answers them, and we didn't know who they were actually from. But now, of course, walking away and talking to Merlin on the phone, who is also following up to make sure she's okay, right? So she does the people in her life that care about her, Ollie and Roy and her dad, which I think is really interesting. And she's calling him dad, which I think is really... That's a very significant thing, that she's calling him dad. I think.
Yeah, well, it just shows how much she's sort of, like, in his camp.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how far that's going to extend when he forces her hand, and she has to fight her
brother. Yeah, it'll be interesting. And then, of course, we are at a new location where Ra's al Ghul...
Nanda Parbat, our first our first time seeing it. And it's a great reveal and a fantastic set. And I got to imagine that we're going to see this a couple of times.
Yeah, it's it's
really and great. There's Ra's al Ghul in some sort of a hot tub or pit. Maybe a Lazarus pit or something.
Or just a hot tub.
I think the implication there is that it's like the Lazarus pit. But I think that that's all we're ever gonna get. Yeah. It's not they're not gonna go into what that is.
Like just the putting on of his whole costume, like
the ceremony of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool.
Dragon necklace.
And I love this, the idea that she's basically reporting back all that's happening in Starling City, which is interesting. And I love this. Oliver Queen courts war with us.
And there we go. There's our reveal of Ra's al Ghul. And people not... You know what? I'm in the camp of not being 100%... 100%...
right.
Okay, like, I don't know about the casting yet. I trust them because the show is cast phenomenally and everybody is fantastic.
Right.
But I think we're just so used to one specific image of Ra's al Ghul. And they're going a slightly different direction with it.
Yeah.
And so we just talked over the preview for next week, which was basically something in Felicity's past is coming back to haunt her.
Is she gonna be?
And we know that next week is... the episode's titled The Secret Origin of Felicity Smoke. And it's her flashback episode.
My friend is auditioning for Agents right now and totally just got some sides from Arrow. He's like, come watch my my demo. And so I watched it and I'm like... Spoilers! So many spoilers from this character that he's reading from. I think it's from the next episode, so we'll see. But I was like, I kind of want to support you, but I also don't want to know like what these signs are because that's awesome. From a character I haven't met yet. But yeah, there should be some interesting computer stuff next week.
Yeah, it'll be very. It's funny because we go from an episode with no Felicity to an episode all about Felicity. So. I'm anticipating it. I'm looking forward to that episode next week. And then I think maybe we have a break. Maybe. I think there might be a pause the week after that.
And we totally talked over Felicity coming back, because she was in the last little bit of this episode.
She was. Well, I made mention of it before she came back.
You did. That is true. Which was nice. And then...
Oh, no, I'm wrong. The week after that. There's got to be a break after that, because that the next two episodes are Secret Origin of Felicity Smoke on November 5th, and then Guilty on November 12th.
Ooh.
And then there's only three episodes after that
before the
break.
Right.
So,
oh, wow.
Maybe so there's got to be, like, at least a week off in there.
Maybe.
I hope so.
Maybe we'll just keep going, chugging along. But they only have those last two dates released.
So. I just know Flash has a week off, I think. Oh, okay. They're not back next Tuesday. Interesting. Because at the end of the last episode it said Flash comes back on November 11th.
Okay, interesting.
So I was expecting them to go on hiatus. Not hiatus, but to have a break.
Right, at the same time? Yeah.
But
interesting. Maybe they needed to all come and get ready for giant crossovers. Hey, do we know if the crossover yet is a double crossover? Like, if half of it's on Flash and half of it's on Arrow?
Well, I know that we have an episode titled The Brave and the Bold, which is the eighth episode of the season for Arrow.
Right.
Let me just bring up the Flash and see if it is also titled The Brave and the Bold. It is, like, it's a two-night event. So I know Tuesday and then watch Wednesday.
That's really cool that they're going to do that. Yeah. I'm just really looking forward to it.
Okay, so it's Flash versus Arrow. We have dates for these, so we actually know.
Maybe the Flash one.
We could figure this out, because, let's see. Flash comes back November 11th, and then The Flash is Born November 18th, and then Power Outage the 25th.
We really should get note cards.
And then Flash versus Arrow on December 2nd.
Okay.
Which is the eighth episode of the season there.
Nice.
But because they took a break
Arrow
for one episode, that means that Arrow will take a break
before the first week of December, right?
Yeah.
They've got to
somewhere
catch up. So that
either between Guilty and Draw Back Your Bow, which is the episode that introduces Cupid, which is a classic character from the comics.
Awesome.
I'm really excited to see her show up on the show. Yeah, and then Brave and the Bold is that episode 8, which will
hopefully
be
there'll
December
be no
3rd,
hopefully there'll be no break and those keep going straight through. Be kind of
well,
good.
No, it, this, they like can't because if they went weeks, every week,
right,
then Brave and the Bold would be a week before. So there will be a break in there somewhere, but.
Yes.
I don't know. I personally could use the break.
Yes, yeah. We've been talking. Yeah. There's a lot of talking. It's
but,
good.
But yeah, awesome things to come before the end of 2014.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting what year it
some
is.
Great, so do I. Great television happening.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's really sort of a big year for Quiver, too, I think, which is awesome. Lots of people still listening, which thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah.
And thank you for commenting. It's really exciting to find review that people actually care enough to, like, review the show, which is kind of cool. So thank you for your constructive criticism and your love of the show, which is great.
Yep.
And, you know, let us know what you guys want to see from us. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. If you're interested, have questions for the show, if you want to email us, that's obviously the easiest way. mail@quiverpodcast.com, where you can send us your thoughts on the show or your thoughts on a week, what you're looking forward to, if you have predictions for the crossover or for what characters will be like, which is really interesting. We like to hear what you guys have to say.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the crossover. We'll be doing some crossovers of our own, actually, with a couple of podcasts.
Nice.
That'll be coming up around that time. Nice. I don't have any details yet because we got to figure out all the logistics of that.
Figure all your podcasts.
But we'll have some crossovers with Starkville Labs.
Cool.
And the Flash podcast as well. So look forward to that. There will be so much to talk about. We'll be all over the place.
Cool stuff.
But.
I want to plug something personal for a minute, too. I'm trying to make a television show right now, which is kind of cool. I got in the top 50 of a Canadian comedy television broadcast. We made it through the top 50. So we went through there. It started with 283 television shows.
That's exciting.
We got cut down to 110, and then we just got into the top 50, or top 55, because they added 5. And then in the next 2 weeks,
do you know where you're ranked
again.
In that top
Not really.
50?
I mean, they do sometimes list it. In overall popularity, we usually fall. We were for a long time in the top 100, falling about 50th, or like between 40 and 50 consistently.
Okay.
And now in the top 50, we're falling consistently in like 30 to 40 or a little bit after, but I haven't been checking it as much. But there's only two weeks to go.
Consistently in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, consistently in the middle of the pack, but I think we have strong other stuff that's going around it. And we've got like a live event next week, so on Thursday.
Well,
the 6th,
how many of these other projects have a built in fan base?
I know,
that they can call
which
upon,
is awesome.
Like the Quiver Arrowheads.
So if you're interested in seeing that, I mean, I don't know how much it's about William Shakespeare as a modern university student, so it is kind of fantastical, and there's some witty humor in there. But you can check it out if you're interested in seeing what that is. You can go to comedycoup.cbc.ca/blankversemidsummer, or just blankverse.tv, and there'll be links to it, which is easy. Which is just cool to see what I'm doing. You know, I love television. Obviously, I talk about it every week, so I'm trying to do, you know, my own shows
just
and stuff like that.
Even if you don't care about
even if
Shakespeare,
you
even if you're
about,
not going to watch it,
just
go and vote.
You should
just
go. If you can, go and vote or rate or just even comment and share it on your social media. We actually get points. It's not all voting-based. It's how many people interact with it. So even if you just go to comedycoup.cbc.ca/blankversemidsummer, they'll be able to like calculate how many people are like actually going
there
and checking out the site,
you
can share it. We're on social media, so
you should post the link on the
at BV Midsummer and at facebook.com/BV Midsummer. So I will just I'll let you guys know if you want to show some Quiver love to some other shows. That would be really awesome. So we'll post the link on the page. So
that'd be great.
Yeah, it's just sweet.
Cool. As always, you can keep up to date with all the latest Arrow news by heading to quiverpodcast.com. Where Tim keeps that up to date, all the latest breaking news as it happens, because
awesome.
He's awesome about that.
Yeah.
And you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/quiverpodcast, where you can find the link to our group.
Yeah.
Had something else to add.
Yeah, Marvel released their next phase of stuff too. Did we talk about that last week?
No, we didn't, because it just happened like earlier.
But it
this
did,
week.
Yeah, which is cool. So
there's,
I feel like there's lots of news. It's always follow us on Facebook. So the Facebook group,
yeah,
too. So facebook.com/quiverpodcast is where basically I get all, from the group that you can link to through there, I get all of my DC and Marvel news. So basically, if you want the latest DC and Marvel news, we have an amazing team of Quiverheads that are on our Facebook group and basically post everything up to the minute. So if you want the latest news about everything sort of DC Marvel, it's a great place to be.
Yeah, and good conversation.
And
you can also find us on Twitter, at Quiver Podcast.
You can also follow us personally, too. I'm at A Konkin, A-K-O-N-K-I-N.
And I'm at Arkwulf, A-R-K-W-U-L-F, where you can hear me tweet about how much I don't want Benedict Cumberbatch to play Doctor Strange.
Interesting.
I don't have a problem with Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, he's good in some things. I just don't want his brand of character on Doctor Strange. I think that it's a bad fit, and I think that it's, if they do it, it's a total just like...
Interesting.
It's a name to put on the poster, right?
He tweets about things other than his like Benedict Cumberbatch as.
I do, but right now that's what I'm tweeting about mostly is that and how excited I am about all these Marvel movies that they just announced.
So much awesome stuff being made in comic books, you guys! Isn't it an awesome time to be a nerd?
It's the best.
I just love
it. It's the best. Somebody posted on Tumblr like a picture of all of the Marvel slate, and it said, and their caption underneath said, "This is the best time to be a Marvel fan," and I reblogged it and added, "This is the best time to be a human being."
Yeah,
like it's just the greatest
great
time
story
to be alive.
Time. Oh, it's just so
because
cool
because all of these awesome things are happening, and who knows how long it's gonna last and if it'll ever happen again.
Yeah,
but
so epic.
It's crazy what Marvel has planned, and it's equally crazy, but for different reasons, what DC has planned.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll talk on a future episode. Maybe that we'll do a special where we'll sort of break down
all the stuff that
the next 6 or 7 years of movies that these that these guys have all got slated out.
Yeah.
Because it's very different, even though it's very much the same.
Yeah.
But that's it for this week, because we could talk about that forever.
We could.
We got to go.
Yes.
It's time to wrap it up.
Thanks for listening to us. Yes. Sorry we ramble.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Thank
we do
you
have
guys
a format. We stay with it.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you next week for the secret origin of Felicity Smoke.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads.
It's a good thing that that happened while we were talking about The Flash and not the actual episode. We're recording now.
I would have been really mad.
Yeah, we're recording now. How do we even get back into that? So basically, I'm annoyed at how great The Flash is.
Yes.
And how we have to sit and talk about Arrow this week.
I know. I kind of want to watch The Flash again tonight instead of rewatching Arrow.
It's so frustrating.
Even though Arrow was really good,
I
really want to watch The Flash again.
But I'd much rather talk about
that
episode of The Flash
while
we're talking
so
about
good.
Flash. And how awesome and adorable Barry and Felicity
were.
They're
so perfect. And it's so...
Yeah.
I love that they acknowledge the perfectness of that, though.
They do. And almost ad nauseum. By the end of it, you're like, yeah, we get it. They're perfect together.
Yeah.
But then they have their conversation, which is what we were talking about. And if I had pushed record, we would not have to have this conversation again. But we do. They have their whole conversation about how they can't be together, which I thought was perfect. I thought everything in it was perfectly worded for why they can't, and the explanation of we're on different TV shows, so we can't be dating. And then they lean in and kiss, and it bugs me. It annoys me. It just, it bothers me so much, because it just, I don't think that that's how people behave in reality. Because, as I was saying, like, when we have the crossover in a few weeks, and Barry is in Starling City, like, it's, I feel like it's awkward. Like, I feel like, it's like, oh, we could date, except we don't live in the same city, and we both have obligations to our own superhero crusades. So, but, okay, let's kiss, and then...
Right, okay, because I was totally, like, I liked, I thought it was a nice sort of cap to the end of the episode, and I really liked what they were doing with them, and it was for people like me, where I was like, come on, just kiss, like, just once, you guys, you're so cute, and that it's an acknowledgement of what it is, but someone was talking about shipping the other day, and they tweeted at us, I think, and the idea that they were like, what are you guys talking about, you can't, like, ship people that you just want to be friends, because isn't shipping all about sex?
We and have had like, this conversation on the show, I swear to God.
I know. Yeah.
It might not have been in the episode. I think it was, though. I think it was in response to an email.
Yeah, where we talked about shipping.
Along the same lines. And it's like, shipping is not just
No, it's
about,
like relationships. There are so many different kinds of relationships.
There's OTPs, and there's bro TPs, and I'm sure that there's some, one for, like, girls who are best friends or not. Because, like I don't know, like, C-3PO and R2-D2, bro TP, right? Like, forever. Like, they're a perfect pair, and I ship them as best buddies forever, right?
Yeah.
And,
oh, I just thought of all the fan fiction that probably exists.
Oh, R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yeah.
You know,
so much.
I mean, I'm sure it exists. I'm sure it exists, because if you say it out loud, there's at least one fan fiction about it. But, like, I don't know, I just,
Yeah, you can have multiple like reasons to want people together, right? And so with Barry and Felicity, I like that they acknowledge that there's not—it's not just like an emotional connection, but they actually do have a physical connection as well, which I think is the thing that I thought was cool. Is that they're just making like a choice to not be together?
No, they're both like. They're really playing up Barry and his, like, and he's, like, very awkward, which was, like, not something that, like he was a little bit clumsy in his debut on Arrow, but he didn't have, like, the weird awkwardness, which I'll chalk that up to he was in a new situation with new people, and it was all very superheroic stuff, but then, like, when it's mostly... been when he's with Iris.
That he's super awkward.
That, like, he grew up with her. He likes her.
Yeah.
They're best friends and all that sort of thing. So he's a little less guarded.
Yeah.
So, like, it's fine. As long as they keep that continuity, like, that thread of, like, he's really dorky when he's around Iris.
Yeah.
And, like, just doesn't care. He's, like, because she'll just smile and laugh at him.
Yeah.
But... it's like they're almost overcompensating for the fact that he is a very pretty boy, right? Like he is, he's very handsome. Like, he's super handsome.
Yeah, but he's still dorky.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, he's dorky because he's not six feet tall and built like a brick, you know.
Yeah.
Like Oliver and Dean and Sam on Supernatural and Tom Welling and Justin Hartley.
And the,
like,
beautiful Ian Somerhalder and his cat that we were talking about before we started
so
podcasting.
He's a little bit thinner, but he's still ripped. Like he's still super,
like,
muscular.
If you put,
and super handsome.
Like, if you put, though, the spectrum of leading men on the CW in a row, he would come
but,
at the,
what
like,
I'm saying
end
is
of
that,
the
that
spectrum.
That's not fair.
He would come 135% times after Sam, who's the dork on freaking Supernatural. I don't even understand how they can possibly call Sam a nerd. It really makes me mad.
Well, Sam's a nerd in the sense that, like, he knows how to use it. Like, because Dean's like an Uber jock, right?
Yeah,
so he's like, what, you got a Facebook account? Nerd. Right? Like, I think that was a pretty solid
Dean. That was
Dean.
A solid Dean. That was really good.
I've been watching it. I just need to get it gravelier, and then, dude, Sammy! I got it. That's good. I should just be Sam, or be Dean for Halloween.
Yeah, there you go.
Just all I need to do is grab a flannel and a brown jacket. But I don't know. I just think that, like, it's funny. And they exemplified it this week with Felicity, who is gorgeous and shows up in that dress.
Oh,
and you're just like,
what?
How does anybody ever go, like, this character is geeky? But That's Emily Van Richter, who's such a good actor. Like, yeah, she's so good at playing the character awkward.
And the character is so... It's so awkward and amazing, and you just, like, love it.
Everybody uses the word adorkable to refer to Zooey Deschanel on New Girl. But honestly, I think that
Emily Bettencourt
is much more adorkable.
Yeah.
And Felicity is... Out-adorkables... Jessica Day any day.
The thing is that she does her awkwardness, she hears it.
Yeah.
And that's the funny part, is where sometimes even she says stuff that I don't get, and then she corrects herself, and I'm like, yeah, that wasn't in you. Like, it's just funny. Yeah. And, like, it just works really well for her. Like, it was sort of awkward at the beginning, but I think they grew into it. Anyways, it's really awesome. I think I'm going to rewatch that Flash episode a couple times.
It was really good. It was really good. I haven't watched it. Crystal hasn't watched it because I watched it at work today by myself. And so, like, she's been watching The Flash.
Oh, nice.
She's not watching Arrow, but she's been watching The Flash. So I think when she watches it, like, we'll watch it together.
Nice.
Because I really enjoyed it. And then on top of it, I mean, all we've talked about in that episode was... Felicity and Barry.
Captain
Cold was so good.
And you know, Wentworth Miller is just freaking amazing.
Yeah,
I love him. And so, you know, the moment that they cast someone like that they're going
to
be on all the time.
The thing that I have to applaud them for is that they took a character, and obviously they were going to take a character that's silly in the comics and make him a little bit more serious. But beyond that, because that's what we expect from Arrow and the Flash at this point, right? Like, they're gonna give us the Batman Begins version of these characters, right? Yeah. Beyond that, they went and they justified why that character is going to be okay with being called Captain Cold in the future.
Right. Yeah.
And, like, I have to point out that they ripped off the whole Cisco naming everybody. That's ripped off directly. I would not be surprised if one of the writers is well aware that they've ripped this off. Like, that they've actually ripped it off of the new Ninja Turtles show. Michelangelo names all of the bad guys. Like, that's his thing on that show. And it's one of the best parts of that show, is that, like, when a new mutant shows up or like a new bad guy, he always like tries out a couple of nicknames for them. And they've got Cisco doing the exact same thing, like beat for beat, same way of like last week's episode where
something
he's like,
terrible, and
or maybe the week before where he was like, oh, it's this, and like, no, I'll come up with something better, and then it Captain Clone, and then he goes, and then at the end it's Multiplex, and it's like, oh, that's cooler, but they, like, the way that it's played and that the character receives that, like, when he gets called Captain Cold,
he
just, like, smiles, and it's like, he doesn't have to say anything in order for you to be like, you understand that his the subtext there is, he goes like, yes, Captain Cold, that sounds good. And then the tag at the end of the episode of him going and I don't know the other guy's name, the other bad guy's name, but, like, that was setting up.
Yeah, the other, the group of the rogues or whatever.
Yeah. That he goes and he says, you know, if we're going to operate in Starling City, we have to, like, that. They've shown me that we have to think about this differently, right? So it's basically, like, it's very similar to the Joker and what he says in The Dark Knight. Where, like, he's kind of saying to Batman, it's like, you showed up, and then it gave everybody permission to be crazy.
Right.
Right? Yeah, like you show up in a bat costume, and suddenly I'm not the weirdest one in the room, right? It's that idea that, like, if Barry's gonna run around in a costume saving people's lives, and being a superhero, then the criminals of Central City are going to respond.
Right.
And that, like, that little piece, and although it's like I said, it's kind of like The Dark Knight, it's played in this perfect way where it's sewn into that character.
Yeah.
And he's going to, I think, be the genesis of a few of the more, like, silly characters.
Yeah, to me.
So, like, when Captain Cold and Captain Boomerang shows up, because I think we've heard that Captain Boomerang is showing up on The Flash, and along with other characters, it's okay because we've been told that, like, there's a justifiable reason why this is happening, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, I just think that they're doing so many great things and they're setting up such a great world.
Yeah. Oh, and just the more that he does it, the what's his name, Ed, the guy that's in the wheelchair.
Harrison Wells.
Yeah. He's just such a perfect supervillain. Just like, or I don't know if he's going to be.
If he's a bad guy.
This is the thing, that like somebody that wants to protect somebody so much that they're willing to murder makes you not a good guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
But so his fanaticism to protect the Flash makes him a bad guy. Like it's just this really interesting, and especially like the stuff with Cisco, like his freak out with Cisco. Like it's just so
it's his
fantastic.
Dark side starting to come out.
It's totally, and you're like, that just makes you the best kind of character. When someone, you understand their motive so much that it makes it impossible to sort of argue one way or another, right? And it's sort of interesting.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of, I mean, we can maybe talk about Merlin on today's show, too.
Yeah, so good. Anyways, we could talk about it for a while, but we have an Arrow episode to talk about, so we should get into that.
Yeah, let's do that. But okay. I'll keep watching more Flash. Yay, more Flash!
Yes, Flash is so good,
Are you really excited about your book?
Yeah. It's so good.
Is it like the movie?
No. Like I am... Let's see, 23 pages in, okay, and so far, not a single scene from the movie. One of the scenes is actually in the Lost World, like they obviously like lifted it from this and put it in the Lost World, but so far nothing that is in Jurassic Park, and only one scene with a dinosaur.
Wow.
And it's, but at this point we don't know that they're dinosaurs.
Oh,
right? Like they're like, well, obviously you know.
Yeah.
It's called Jurassic Park. There's a dinosaur on the cover. But I'm trying to like read it with the perspective of somebody who would have read this in 1990 when it was first published and be like, holy crap, what's going on? Where are the dinosaurs? When are dinosaurs going to show up? Was that thing a dinosaur? But it's, we remember we had the conversation about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And how I said like I just can't get into the writing style, like that musical, overly British, because it is British, but to me, over my sensibilities, overly British, like that sort of like bouncy, lyrical way that it's written, I just couldn't get into. But this, like, it is, it's the right mix of, like subjectivity and description that I like in a book. That it's like, I want to know what's going on, but I don't want a George R. R. Martin situation of describing the juice dripping down so-and-so's chin because he's eating a turkey leg. Like, really, you can tell me that he's eating a juicy turkey leg and my brain will fill in the holes. I'm an adult. I can figure out what a juicy turkey leg is like. You don't need to describe every single second of a meal in a Game of Thrones book in order for me to get it. But
I got bored, like, hearing you talk about him describe
meals. Oh, my God. Like, Game of Thrones is excellent. The story is great. But his writing, to me,
I dropped it. I couldn't read the first book.
Yeah.
I'm just watching the television show. I'm going to enjoy it like it is.
Yeah.
But I am reading
Outlander. And Scott keeps saying to me, like, oh, you listen to audiobooks. Listen to the audiobooks. Get the audiobooks. And I was like, dude, the audiobooks are, like, 30 hours. 30 hours, okay? That's ridiculous. That'll take me like a month and a half to listen to. Like, I listen an hour and a time, not even like 40 minutes to and from work, so like twice a day, so about I guess 80 minutes a day, I can listen to an audiobook, but I have podcasts to listen to as well, and then other things to do, and I already know the story, right?
Yeah, so
like it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But no, I'm like, as soon as we're done, as we're done, I'm just gonna sit and read Jurassic Park. So
I just bought Death Comes to Pimberley at like randomly. It was sitting at, I was buying something else. I was like, is this a sequel to Jane Austen? Apparently, it's like, yeah, I love anything Pride and Prejudice, so I'm excited to read my book too. Let's have a book night, woo!
No, let's not have a book night. I don't want to hear anything about your book. Sorry, I know. Like that is something
I haven't read it yet. So I can't, like, I forgive a lot. Jane Austen, I will forgive. Well, I know it's not Jane Austen, it's somebody. But it seems good.
It's somebody that wrote a sequel to a Jane Austen book.
It's called Murder Comes to Pemberley. It's been made into a masterpiece PBS show as well, which makes me... I love when I get to read stuff and then watch it afterwards because I get the visual that I can place mm-hmm. onto the book as I'm reading it, and then I can watch the show, and it just adds that to that character. I really love... I finish books easier when I know that they are either adapted into television or to mm-hmm. movies because I know that I'll get to watch it once I'm done, and I also get to tailor uh-huh. the, like, characters... I don't have to paint the characters. They're sort of in my head already from, like, what I know. So, I mean, the thing with Pride and Prejudice is, like...
Like, from casting or whatever?
Yeah, from casting.
Yeah,
stuff.
I did
really
that.
Like that.
I don't remember... I'm trying to remember with Mockingjay if I knew that Julianne Moore was going to play... what's the character's name?
I
can't remember. I want to say Snow, but that's the bad
guy. The District 13
one? Yeah, the District 13.
Yeah. I don't
Coin.
Know what her name is.
Coin.
Yeah.
President Coin. I don't remember if I knew that going into it or if my brain put that together and was just like, that's who I'm picturing.
Oh,
and then I think it was like that was basically like who I had thrown together. Like
that
was the sort of actress that I was picturing. And then found out that she had been cast and it was like, oh,
perfect.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And I don't... Like, I think I wasn't done the book yet. Like,
yeah.
I think that they were in the process of filming it. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's basically what I had in my head. I'm just going to continue with that thought, right? But because I listened to those books after having seen the first Hunger Games, it's very much...
tailored by the...
Like, those characters.
Yeah.
But although, oddly, not Katniss... Because because it's in her first person, and so you have a voice talking to you, and it's not Jennifer Lawrence, it's not the same cadence or really like the same pacing. So, like everybody else, I was putting the characters from the movies into those characters, except for Katniss, who is kind of like a separate version of Katniss. But I much prefer Katniss that's in the movies than Katniss
that's
in the book.
Okay.
I'm really hoping that I enjoy Mockingjay the movie or part 1 and 2 more than I enjoyed
the
book.
Yeah,
because I feel like her character is much stronger in the movies.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
In
the
books, she's very weak. Like
yeah,
she spends
she is,
a lot of
really
time
painful.
Whining and complaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
And based on the trailers that they've shown,
they showed a bunch during the Flash, which was really awesome too.
I feel like they've gone in a slightly different direction.
I hope so.
And so we talked about this before.
Yeah.
That is one instance where I hope that in order to keep us on our toes, that they change something.
Yeah.
Something different happens. It's like Scott Pilgrim. They almost had a different ending for Scott Pilgrim than they had in the book. Because in the comics, he goes with Ramona at the end, but in the movie he does go with Ramona, and that's how it ends, just like the comic. But there's an alternate ending on the DVD or the Blu-ray or whatever where instead he goes with Knives. They sort of
like
get back
yeah.
together like because she had grown up or whatever
right.
in the course of the story.
Yeah.
But honestly, like those should have been flipped because
right, yeah,
like
yeah.
in the books there's it takes place over a few years.
Oh right, so
and then in the
best.
Movie
yeah.
it's like 1 week.
Yeah,
like,
so
whatever.
Like, yeah.
but like I like that. I like it when you can accomplish the same goal, but like have a different outcome.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like just slightly changes. So when I say that. If this ends up on the episode, spoilers for anybody, this is going to be the very end, and then we're going to start talking about Arrow. So this will be the very end of the episode. But stop listening if you don't want to know what happens at the end of Mockingjay. Okay, if you're still here, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that Katniss dies in the movie. Like, I hope that they kill her in the movie. And
That would be such
else.
A stronger... I would be so much happier
Well, because
with that.
That's where the story was going.
Yeah.
And then everybody else dies,
well,
except
you know
for her.
The thing is, the essence of... That's the prop. Like, the thing about that book that is so problematic, but also, like, the good... Like, the greatness of it...
Yeah.
...is the idea that, like, all of this glory... And then it's just, like, what do you want? A normal life? Like, is that, like... That's the harder part. She suffers more by living.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that really bothers me about that book, is that she suffers more by living.
Yeah.
I think also her life... Sorry, I've said this... I don't know if I've said this to you before, but I've said it to, like, some people in terms of, like, when you compare Bella Swan from Twilight mm-hmm. and Katniss Everdeen, Bella Swan's ending makes her a stronger character mm-hmm. than Katniss Everdeen's ending. Just in terms of, like, self-actualization yeah. and personal internal strength. I have no idea how
Twilight ends.
Yeah, so. Anyways, in terms of self-actualization yeah. and personal inner strength,
yeah.
Katniss Everdeen is a weaker character at the end of those books than Bella yeah. Swan is.
I mean, I think that those books, like, the two series have different goals.
They're very, right? Yes. They totally because do, 100%.
Although Katniss is the main character of the Hunger Games trilogy, yeah. by the time you get to Mockingjay, what you realize is that she is not the focus of the story.
Yeah, she's not as important.
Right? I think it's an instance of a story getting away from an author and an mm-hmm. author not having the guts to break pattern, right? Because the first book is her perspective. The second book, I feel, should have been hers and Pia's.
Yes.
Like, I think that it should have shared their perspectives, yeah. and you should have, like flipped both. Back and yeah. forth. Because I think that what's going... Because the movie is much stronger than the book, right?
Yes,
because
is.
In the
yes,
movie,
the,
we get to see
so
much,
much
of,
more,
of
yeah.
Pia
yeah,
and what's
journey,
going
yeah.
on in his head
yeah.
by his performance
yeah,
and whatever.
Exactly. Yeah,
so that by the end of that, you get that, like... They're in the same position with one another.
Yeah.
They're jockeying for, like, who gets
get
to sacrifice
in, yeah,
for who.
Which you didn't get in the
yeah.
book at all.
And so, by the third book, honestly, like, it should have not been in either of their perspectives. It should have been somebody else.
There's you know what's actually kind of interesting? Is that out of, like, the sort of tweeny novels that are kind of big in books right now, like, Divergent
yeah.
and Twilight both split the narration between, Jacob narrates half of the second book, of the,
okay.
sorry, of the third book. No, the first half of the... Anyway, one of the books, half of it is narrated by Jacob.
Jacob,
and they
this is Divergent you're talking
about?
No,
I'm talking about Twilight.
Okay, I don't know who Jacob is.
The wolf.
Okay.
The wolf guy.
Oh, okay,
gets
yeah.
to narrate half the book. And Bella, so it's both of them.
Yeah.
And also in Divergent, so Triss is the main character, and in the first book, Triss narrates it. But it splits between two of them for the second book. And then the third book... Can I ruin Divergent? Do you care about Divergent?
I haven't seen it, and I don't care.
You don't care?
We've already talked about Divergent.
But the thing is, the reason they do this is because in the third book, they split the narration because she dies in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing is that she's no longer...
Yeah.
And
that's my thing with Mockingjay, is that the whole, like... It's just, it's set up
yeah.
that she is supposed to be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah,
that, like,
yeah.
that that coin wants her dead,
yeah.
and Snow wants her dead. Like,
yeah.
she is not useful to
yeah.
anybody alive.
Yeah.
She is so much more useful, as a martyr
yeah.
than she is as a fighter.
Yeah.
And then what happens at the end, like in the last third of that story, is that everybody around her, all of these people, all these characters that honestly propped her up and are the mm-hmm. only reason that she's still alive,
yeah.
they all sacrifice themselves for her.
Yeah,
right?
Just, yeah.
And like that it bugs me so much because she didn't earn any of that. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not like she earned it by being loyal to them.
Yeah.
If anything, like...
She's disloyal.
Yeah, she's totally just out for herself.
Yeah.
She only... Like, she wants to save Pita not because Pita is suffering, but because she feels
responsible
for Pita
yeah,
suffering,
exactly.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Like, I think it's interesting, and I think that it's still a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy with the ending. I feel like it should have been dealt with differently.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day... if your goal is to bring these feelings up in a
yeah.
young reader, then you did it, right?
Yeah.
Like, then Suzanne Collins wins because
yeah.
she's getting 15-year-olds to think, like, but she deserves to die, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and so
yeah.
then they're sitting there and they're going to analyze the story.
Yeah.
They're going to think about the morals that
yeah.
are posed in it. Which, like, there is no clear-cut winner or loser
of
the Hunger
Games. Well, that's the thing. Like, that's,
like, everybody
I think that's
loses.
The essence. Is that
yeah.
the thing that I thought was super strong and that bothered me
yeah.
about the books is that it's not a
yeah.
happy ending.
Yeah.
Her living is not the happy ending.
No.
Like,
no,
that's
not
the good thing. That's not what you
it's
want.
Not.
So there's this thing in terms of, just like, it's so mirrored because they're both apocalyptic, they're both young
yeah.
women,
yeah.
but Triss in Divergent
yeah.
is also set up that same way. She actually winds up sacrificing herself
she
in
makes
the end.
A choice.
She makes a choice
yeah.
and she gets shot. Like, it's a thing that she makes the choice, but
yeah,
if
yeah.
she didn't do that, everybody else, like, it was actually, like, a thing where she then, and everybody else has to live without her. And that's, like, the thing is that, like, the world does get changed and there is clear winners because she made, like, an actual choice. Yeah. It wasn't really... And it is sort of black and white, too. It's a... Or not black and white, it's gray as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, yeah, if you set someone up to be a person that's constantly in danger, that's just a girl, like, if it's just a regular person that's sort of been thrown into these extraordinary circumstances, they should probably die in the end because they're not meant to be superheroes. Like,
yeah. Yeah, unless, if you're going to follow the hero's journey, then you're going to follow the hero's journey, and Luke Skywalker becomes a Jedi by the end of the story, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and you leave that story with him being the wizard now, right? But if you're going to be subversive, which both of those stories are, right, because they're dystopian, so by their nature they're going to be subversive just because of that, you have to, your hero's journey has to almost be inverted,
right?
Yeah. So you're saying, like all heroes start off as a normal person at the beginning. Mm-hmm. If not, then it's not the beginning of their story, right? But everybody starts as a normal person and then grows into a hero. That's what the hero's journey is. But in Katniss's example, she never once becomes a hero.
Yeah.
She does a couple of heroic things. Her first heroic act is to sacrifice herself for her sister. But and she makes a couple of similar choices along the path. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like halfway through the second book, you realize that she has no agency in the world. Like, she has absolutely no control.
Yeah.
She doesn't get to make her own decisions. And it's like the last time she ever got to make a decision for herself was when she had those berries in her hand.
Yeah.
And the second that she says to PETA, I should have just eaten those berries.
Yeah.
I should have just done everybody a favor and just died then and there.
Yeah.
And she, like, she's right. And you're like, yep, you probably should have. Because you know what would have probably happened? Riots. And those riots, like the same thing that happens would have happened without her.
Yeah.
But instead, because she survives, both of those factions, whether it's Coin or Snow, they both use her as opposite symbols to rally their armies to fight each other. Like, they were just looking for an excuse, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. But my biggest problem with all of the Hunger Games will always be that Pan Am makes no sense at the end of the day because
water isn't in District 4. I don't understand how water's in District 4.
What happened to Canada?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because if you look at the maps that exist of Pan Am, they literally cut off at the 49th parallel in 90% of them. There are like 4 or 5 maps that I could find online of Pan Am that showed that, like, yeah, it kind of goes into Canada a little bit. And it's like, so then what's going on in the rest of Canada? So in my mind, I just imagine that we never hear about any of the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So in my mind,
the world just kept going.
I just imagine that, like, that America became so isolationist and insular that at a certain point, everybody just put up walls.
Yeah.
And they were just like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
We want nothing to do with you anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you have literally started eating your own tail, and we're just going to let you kill each other off.
Yeah.
So, like, Canada is just sitting up above the 49th parallel, and we're just, like, having cookies.
Yeah, and like, just sort of sharing off.
Man, the ice caps melted. Vancouver is, like, underwater, but we built, like, a pontoon city on top of it. So, like, nobody lives in the bottom floors of the buildings, but, like, there's still a good, like, 40 stories that are safe. So we're all good. Like, everything's fine.
Yeah.
We're cool. But do not go to the States anymore. Like, we thought it was crazy back in, like, 2014.
Yeah. I feel like we built a bridge off the rails. We took over Alaska and then built a bridge over to Russia so that we could link ourselves.
It's the one major failing of that series. And it's very similar to my feelings about Harry Potter, where it's like, there's a whole other... Like there's the rest of the world. And Harry Potter, we get, like, snippets of, like, dragons are from Romania, and these dragons are from China. But really, it's only, like, these monsters came from other parts of the world. It's like, what about the people?
That's the Triwizard Tournament. That's the whole point of the Triwizard Tournament.
But they're all from Europe. Like, they're all from, like, this, like, the European Union, basically. Yeah. So it's like, there's the one guy... this might sound horrible, but is his name's like Domingo or something like that? There's the one wizard that's like African.
Oh, Kingsley Shacklebolt. They make him African in the movie.
But he wasn't. I have no idea.
Okay. I'm terrible.
Kingsley sounds like a South African sort of name.
I had no idea that Rue was black when I read the books because I just don't read. I feel like that's terrible disservice to like what's written in these characterizations.
Anyways, I think there might be like the one character who's like he's from Africa and he's a wizard. But it's like what and I think they're correcting it with these new movies with the Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, Beware the Fire! The first movie takes place
in New York. So
interesting. Yeah, it's like more world building stuff.
And that's what I want. That's what I want. I just want her to like step back and go, okay, other people can write some cool stories. I'm cool with that. But anyways, let's actually talk about it.
Let's record.
Yeah. Okay. It's your intro.
Yay! The Magician!
Let me just double check. It would be a shame to lose all of that conversation, though. It's good. We have like 10-15 minutes of Flash and then 10 or 15 minutes of something else. So, okay.
Okay. And there's enough time, space? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. 5 hours and 24 minutes? I think we should be able to cover it in that.
Yeah. One day we'll do a 5-hour podcast.